Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Lady of Shady Lane has hit the town like a bomb. The back fence gossip ain't been
Blue
this
Monday,
good.
Please. We're not ready for some cute little tune that has no meaning. I mean, this is a regular radio show here. We have such important news on the Savage Nation. There
Blue
you go.
Monday,
let's get started right
Monday,
now. You're talking.
Got to work like a slave on deep.
It is Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. Here are the topics in order of importance. Adult movie star, porn star Marilyn Chambers found dead. Phil Spector, known for nothing since 1965, convicted of second-degree murder. I mean, this is America. You want the news, don't you, in relative importance. Here's the third most important story in America. Mel Gibson's wife files for divorce. That's what you really want to hear about. You don't want to hear about Obama lifting restrictions on Cuba, or Obama finally doing the right thing with ordering the Navy SEALs to kill the pirates, which is the right thing, but it was no great military victory. I mean, a military victory would have been striking North Korea's launch pads before Kim Jong mentally ill fired a rocket. But all right, give him credit where credit is due. This is the Savage Nation. We'll start with the first and most important story in the United States of degeneracy here. Adult star Marilyn Chambers found dead. You may not know who she is. She's 52 years old, 56 when she died. And she broke through into the public's consciousness, polluting the American mind forever, in the 1972 film Behind the Green Door. And I guess this proves that Mama Savage was right when she said sex is dirty. In the sense that years ago, when I had my mother on the show, God rest her soul, she died about 5 years ago. She was, how old was Mom? 88? She made it that long? I don't know. God, what longevity. My father kicked the bucket young, God rest. The men always die younger because we work harder, you know, particularly in the older generation. That's how it was set up. Women didn't work in those days. Most women didn't work. The men worked. They worried. The women shopped, cooked, cleaned, and complained. And then they got the left the money, and they moved to Florida, and then they complained again to the surviving children that the Chinese and Italian wasn't as good as in New York. That's the way of all life. Hey, I got to tell you another joke. I mean, a joke. It's dark humor. I went out with a friend of mine last night. So he swore to me that his stepfather has a phrase on his tombstone that says, "Where are we going for dinner?" I said, "What?" He said, "I swear to you." He said he was known for one phrase, "Where are we eating dinner tonight?" I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He says, "Just like your show." He said, "This is all a man ever talked about in his last 50 years. Where are we going to dinner?" So his surviving wife put on his tombstone, "Where are we going to dinner?" No, but my mother was right when she said sex is dirty. You know, that's so opposite today when you got kids 9 years old sending naked pictures of themselves with parents saying, go ahead, enjoy yourself. Don't do it. You know, go ahead, don't get in trouble. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. The mothers are like sluts today. Take a look at them. You ever go to a mall? You don't know which one is the teenager. What is the mother trying to compete with the daughter to be a bigger slut than the daughter? No wonder the daughters is texting themselves naked. All right, but sex is dirty. My mother was right. So when I called my mother years ago before she passed away right in this show. You remember what she said? She caught me off guard. Play it now. What do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more sex you have is better.
Well,
especially the gays, Ma, out here, you know, they go to
83, though.
Huh?
They're not 83.
No, you can't argue with that. What do you think about guys going to a bathhouse with 100 men a week?
With the guys, and I didn't, shouldn't have even said it to her.
She didn't even know what men do with each other. My aunt once asked me in the back of a car on the way to a funeral, by the way. She said to me, Michael, what do homosexual men do with each other? I said, don't even ask me. I said, don't even ask me. They have no idea. They haven't the slightest idea. All right, but, you know, you want to talk about the pirate thing. This was similar to Reagan's show strike on Gaddafi, in a way. And you have to give Obama credit because at least he struck the pirates. At least the military used its force. At least the special forces or the SEALs were able to kill these pieces of garbage. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the captain of the Bainbridge isn't court-martialed by the U.S. military for actually doing his job. After all, it's come out now that they were only teenagers. The Somalis were merely misunderstood teens, uneducated little teenager Muslims. They're only doing what their holy book told them to do to infidels. We're learning now that Somali pirates are untrained teens. And perhaps Hillary Clinton can see if they can court-martial a captain of the Bainbridge for giving the command to kill them. You know, Anthony in Chicago, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you know, I feel like it's a real huge victory for the United States in serving these Somalis some equal justice with the deaths of them.
Yes, it is. It is a victory against piracy. It's not a military victory because a military challenge was presented last week with the firing of a rocket by Kim Jong-il when we did nothing. That was a military challenge.
Yes, we backed off from that challenge, and I think I feel really bad about that, but I mean...
Correct. I felt terrible about it because we had a ship offshore North Korea. We could have launched missiles, and we could have blown up his launch pads with his whiskey collection at the same time.
Well, that's why I don't know...
All right, that's enough already. 1-800-449-8255. Look, you're getting things out of order here. You're talking about military affairs when I wanted to talk about Marilyn Chambers, the star of Behind the Green Door, dying, and my allegation that sex is dirty. Steve in Las Vegas got the right idea. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation, Steve.
Hi, how you doing? Nice to talk to you. I love your show, man. You're right on target.
But go ahead. Now the good news.
Well, the good news is I've been in over 300 XXX movies. I actually knew Marilyn. I'm actually shocked to hear this right now. I'm kind of a little bit shaky because I knew her pretty well. So I suppose I'm going to be getting phone calls.
Didn't she have cancer for a number of years?
She did. She had been battling it. Heard
Steve,
that...
look, let's be real, and I'm not going to put any moral judgments on what you do for a living. I mean, you know, my positions are pretty clear, and people enjoy pornography. Whether or not they admit it or not is another story. There certainly is a consumer base for pornography, or it wouldn't be there wouldn't be a market for it. So let's let that sit as it may, okay? But you know and I know that exposure to different individuals and multiple exposures to many individuals, no matter how safe you try to be, does expose you to disease. That's a given. And you would know that in your industry, correct?
That's correct. But we have procedures that protect us from those diseases.
Then let's get very, very Swedish about this and clinical. Let us say that a man has intercourse with a woman using a condom. Is there not still an exchange of bodily fluids to a certain extent?
There is, and there's always a risk. This is true.
So, you know, I mean, guys like you, you're how young are you? How old are you?
Well, I'm 44 now. I was in the industry when I was 24 to...
Oh, 30. Okay, so you're changing tires now in Cleveland.
Yeah, I
have a... Well, at least you got a sense of humor. You know, you talked like you were still in the business. What are you doing? What does an ex-porn star do?
What's that? What's an ex-porn star
What
do?
Does an ex-porn actor do?
Well, first of all, I have to give you a little bit of background on me. I graduated from...
Sir, I'm not that interested. What do you do now?
What do I do now? I'm in the security field.
Oh, you're going to tell me you're a Navy jet pilot.
No, I'm in the security field.
How do you know, this is an intriguing thing. I never met anyone in the porn business. Honest to God, I never did. So, I want to ask you something. You do that for a living. Do you have normal relations with a woman in addition to that?
Well, my wife is still the biggest star in that industry, which is Alicia Rio. We were married and we were in the industry together for the whole
how
time.
How can you do that? I don't understand it. How can you do sex for a living and then have sex with a wife? I don't get it.
Well, you know what? It's a different frame of mind. You know, it's not for everybody, and not anybody can do it. I think.
Now you're telling me you have children running around and you go to church on Sunday?
I have a. I'm newly married, and I have a little child, and I have nothing. She has nothing to do with the industry.
Was John Holmes what they said he was? Was he on the level of the Cuban Superman?
Yes, he was. He is the truth that all men were not created equal.
Hey, you remember in The Godfather 2 when they go to Cuba and Frito gets excited over the Cuban Superman? Do you remember that scene?
I vaguely do.
Yeah. Was there actually a man, the Cuban Superman?
Well,
all right, come on. Now this is getting absurd. But I heard rumors of the Cuban Superman in New York when I was a kid, you know, and then the movie came out, and it was like, oh, you know, big deal.
Right.
You know, I want to talk about that for 1 minute in a delicate family manner, and I want to put something to rest. And I really want to do this in a very dignified manner. A lot of men fear that they are not endowed adequately to satisfy a woman. And they also suspect that all women are size queens. That's not true, is it?
It is not true. In fact...
And I'm going to give you the converse of that. And I'm going to make a prediction if it hasn't already happened. The artificial breasts that you see today promulgated the silicone implants in women. Is there not a trend now that men want the natural woman?
This is absolutely true, actually.
In other words, the idea of this perennial youthful look, which is so plasticky, is a turnoff for most men. And not all men are turned on by women who are large-breasted. Some men like flat-chested women. Some men like women with small breasts. And I think the same thing is true with women towards men. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And this is not, you see, but this is not part of the national psyche. The national psyche is if it's bigger, it's better, and women love you more. And I think that this was a very important conversation, which is why I said, although we can talk about the piracy and we can talk about Cuba and we will, the death of Marilyn Chambers, the porn star, is actually more important today in America. I'll be right back.
I'm very proud of the efforts of the U.S. military and many other departments and agencies that work tirelessly to resolve this situation. I share our nation's admiration for Captain Phillips' courage and leadership and selfless concern for his crew.
All right, he is the commander-in-chief. He did give the captain, by all, you know, what we can read, the right to make his own conclusions as to when he thought that captain's life was in danger to fire. That's more than Bush did. Look, Bush came in like a lion and went out like a sheared lamb. You can write that one down and steal it tomorrow, Fatty. But he came in like a lion, he went out like a sheared lamb. Remember, there was piracy in the last few months of Bush's regime, and Bush did absolutely nothing. Remember, we were clamoring for some kind of action. So, okay, you got to give credit where credit is due. I'm a realist. And Obama gets credit here. Let's not turn this into the invasion of Normandy, though, if you don't mind. New York City, WOR. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael, I was just getting ready to call to criticize, but you kind of rescinded your earlier comments. And Obama.
Wait. What do you mean? Rescinded what comments?
Well, you were blowing off the whole Somalia deal, rescuing Captain Phillips like it was no big deal, and you just came back on the...
Well, I never blew it off. You weren't hearing.
I didn't say
it was nothing. I said it was not a great military coup.
But you're dismissing the fact that he passed his first international crisis. This was an international
crisis. No, you're wrong, Steve. This was not his first international crisis. His first international crisis was Iran announcing they can make a nuclear weapon. His second international crisis was North Korea launching a missile.
He's been in office, what, 90 days?
Oh, wait, now you're backing up. You're not denying those two events occurred, are you?
No, they did occur, but I mean...
Well, thank you. So don't tell me that this was Obama's first military crisis, a first international crisis. Kim Jong-il has been threatening to fire a rocket for months. In fact, Obama sent a warship off the coast of North Korea. North Korea said they'd blow it out of the water. Kim Jong-il fired the rocket, and we did nothing. It was an embarrassment, Steve.
No, it wasn't. They set up a broken rocket that landed innocently in the Pacific.
Now you know you have no credibility at all. You can't have it both ways. Let's not turn Obama into George Washington all of a sudden.
The fact is, this was the first identifiable crisis that he faced.
You are wrong. You're dissembling reality. Iran saying they have enough centrifuges to build a nuclear bomb. Would you call that a crisis?
Those centrifuges were built over years in the Bush administration. In 60.
Well, hold on. Wait, you know, you're really reaching right now. It doesn't matter when they were built. They were completed under Obama. Obama did nothing. Kim Jong-il launched a rocket. Did he not launch a rocket, yes or no?
Yes, and it landed harmless.
Could we have shot the rocket down?
And what good of that would have done?
Could we have blown up the launch pad before the rocket was fired? To say to that psychopath, you're never going to threaten America. You're never going to threaten Alaska. What are you talking about?
Michael, we're involved.
Listen, you're a worshiper. And to a worshiper like you, your hero can do no wrong. And that's very dangerous. Thanks for the call. I don't like worshipers. Okay? I don't like worshipers. Rich, New York, WOR. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I cannot completely blame these pilots for what they've done over there. I mean, they have not reported on the complete and total truth of what happened over there. It is true that they have been dumping toxic waste off the shores of their coast over there.
What do you work for, CARE? Which group do you work, the Muslim Brotherhood or CARE?
I don't work for anybody, but the truth is the truth.
Yeah, man, take your story walking, you stooge. Get off my show. Take a walk, you stooge. I never want to hear. I don't even want you to listen to my show. When a schmuck like you listens to this show, you lower the IQ of the average person. Just by listening, you suck the IQ down. Get off this show. Go listen to the hemorrhoid with ears. Go ahead. Call the hemorrhoid with eyes next time. That's where you belong. Go on the hemorrhoid with ears television show. That's where you belong, you moron, you. Boston, Bill, W. What's the name of the station? I don't know my station. Of course, WRKO. How could I forget? We're going to go to WRKO in a moment in Boston. Still magic. When you say RKO, I still see those things coming out of a tower. When you say RKO, I see like lightning bolts coming off a big tower. It says radio. Certain things say radio. OR says radio. WRKO says radio. Certain things still say radio. I say radio. What do you say? It's the Savage Nation. All right, well, look, there's a lot of things we could talk about here. We're talking about everything all over the map. It's a talk show, so the phone number is 1-800-449. Now, Goldman Sachs, as you well know, is a scam operation, in my opinion. I was talking about Goldman Sachs before you heard the word Goldman and Sachs. 2 years ago, I started to alert you to who they were. I told you that the former Treasury Secretary, Paulson, who is now hiding at his estate in Michigan, was the former head of Goldman Sachs. I told you they were running America's currency and economy. No one listened to me. Goldman Sachs is now announcing a $5 billion public stock offering and reporting a $1.8 billion quarterly profit. Why are they not paying back the money that they got from their cronies in the U.S. government, from us? Why are they not paying it back? Anyone answer that one? Because if you got an answer to that question, I got another question for you. All right? That's all. What do I really want to talk about now? It's a long segment coming up. The pirates are ready. All right, we could talk about the pirates. How about the lifting of travel restrictions to Cuba for relatives of Cubans? I mean, what effect will this have on the communist state of Cuba? Is it a reward for the Castro criminals? And what I'm really concerned about is what effect will this have on America? In other words, will they become more democratic as a result of the relatives of the Cubans going over there? Or will we become more socialist or communistic like them? Moreover, the flow of people who are relatives is likely to increase the flow of drugs into America because Cuba is a well-known transit point for cocaine coming out of South America. That's well-known. So you want to talk about the Cuba, the lifting, what does it mean? I mean, what does it mean? Tell me what it means. What do you think about it? Most of you don't even know where Cuba is. I've always wanted to go to Cuba because I grew up in New York. I love Cuban music. I mean, the real great stuff. The incredible, you know, Sonora Matancera, the great Cuban music. That's if he's in Cuban. I don't even know. But let's go back to Benny Moray. I know he was Cuban. So I grew up on Cuban music in New York, right? And I fell in love with the incredible music of Cuba. And, okay, then if Castro comes to power, He kills the heart and soul of the Cuban people. The music dies, basically. It's never the same. The people live like prisoners on the island. They have 10th world medical care, and they're slaves to these two gangster brothers. They have no freedom. And so America decides 50-some-odd years ago, whatever the number of years is, that the best way to end communism in Cuba is to starve them out with an embargo. Has it worked? No. It hasn't worked. So who has suffered? The argument is that the people of Cuba have actually suffered. So what is lifting an embargo going to do? What is lifting travel and money restrictions going to do? It might help the Cuban people who are stuck under the Castro regime, is what it might do. I don't know that it's actually going to have any other effect upon us in one way or the other. And it's not a generalized amnesty in the sense that you can go to Cuba, although you can go to Cuba anyway. All you got to do is fly into Mexico and you can go to Cuba. You can go to Canada and go to Cuba. So, you know, what's the big deal? You should know a little bit about Cuba right now and what it means to be a socialist nation. The young girls in Cuba have to prostitute themselves for a few dollars because the economy is so horrendous. And that's why many American leftists love Cuba. They get girls for about $20, and they get cigars other than they do here, and they come back glowing about Cuba. It's because basically they're abusing the young girls of Cuba, and you know that, and I know that. And it's the same thing with a gay friend I had years ago who I wouldn't even spit in the same street he walks on today, let alone talk to him. This guy, Mr. Liberal, who held himself up as some great progressive role model in San Francisco, used to go to Guatemala and talk about how he helped the people when he was buying young boys for, you know, 12-year-old boys for $2 a visit. And he thought I didn't know what he was doing. The spit in the gutter of San Francisco is worth more than he is as a human being. Calls himself a poet. Never worked a day in his life. Lives with a failed flop doctor that does welfare fraud. And this are progressives. They're degenerates who want a cheap rate on a hooker. Usually male to male. Want to talk about it? Don't call me. Call the hemorrhoid with eyes. That's all. So now pirate land-based, they're going to spill Phil Spector. Why is he such a freak? How do you get... Why does Phil Spector, who was found guilty of second-degree murder and no bail today... This guy did nothing since 1965. The Wall of Sound. Oh, yeah, that's on my mind every day. That's bigger than the Declaration of Independence. And the porn star that he whacked with the gun that they said did herself, the last movie she was in 1985. But this shows you the power of Hollywood. Well, why does he look like a gnome? Is it from all the food he's eaten in Dantana's over the years in L.A.? Is that why the guy, like, shrunk up from the high salt? Was it the Italian food that did it to him? I mean, he's Jewish from the Bronx, but most Jews from the Bronx like Italian food. And, I mean, maybe that did it to him. And the wig, my God, grow up already. Go bald like your Uncle Murray. You know what I mean? Look like a regular old Jewish guy. You don't have to look like you're cool. You're not cool. You're a gnome and you're going to jail. In fact, you might live longer in jail if you got rid of that rug on your head. You know, that would be my advice to Phil Spector. Take the rug off. You might survive. You schmendrick, you. You don't want to talk about, oh, I can't take these calls on Cuba. And New York, Lou, WOR. Go ahead. Lou, what's on your mind?
Michael, I was thinking about the Cuban situation, and perhaps it's because there's so much activity and fighting going on in Mexico, they just can't get their drugs fast enough. So they got
to
go.
Well, look, I happen to have read that Cuba's a major transit point for drugs coming out of South America. They unload it onto boats from there. And so therefore, maybe there is a relationship. I don't really know.
I
wouldn't look past anything with the government. You know, all governments are corrupt. It's just that some are more corrupt than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all. Show me an honest government, and I'll. Could you play music? I'm feeling like in my head dead. It's like I feel death descending. Oh, okay. Thank God. I got a float in my left eye. Remember, I had an incident last year with the right eye. Who knows? I could drop dead tomorrow with your life the way it is. You don't know. Thank you. Mi chiquita. I love Spanish when it's spoken properly, not mixed in with the Indian dialect. I like the way they say hamburger from Mexico. I'm sorry, it's the way. I studied Castilian Spanish, which I thought was a lovely language. The way it's spoken in California, I don't even know what language it is. Oh, it's Benny Moré. It's like German and Yiddish. I mean, I you shouldn't say things like that. I understand. Which is a mixture of Low German and Hebrew. It's like a secret code language. I'm an expert in languages, incidentally. I speak one perfectly, and I understand all others. And disappearing on the earth like endangered species, for good reason. I mean, when have you last gone to a movie that was in the Middle German? When have you last gone to a movie that was done in Yiddish? Well, Mel Gibson, to his credit, did a movie in the Mayan language. That was a brilliant stroke. I like that movie, by the way. What was the name of that, Beowulf? Apocalypto. Fabulous movie. My heart was pounding the whole time. I could have done without the subtitles. And the women were hiding in the hole with the kid, man. The whole plot was horribly frightening. But why he had to do it in Mayan? He couldn't get... Remember in the old days in the 50s when they did Cowboys and Indians? All the Indians were like Jews. They were friends of the directors. They were like fairly well-built guys from Brooklyn. And they put like a wig on him. Mi tanto. It was unbelievable. The guy's name was Myron Silverman. And all the guys were Jewish guys from Brooklyn out in Hollywood on the make. They made him into Indians. Remember those days? The same thing. I'm not saying they should have not chosen Mayans for Apocalypto, but they had to go as far as a language? That it put the Mayan language in there? I mean, who speaks Mayan anymore except three professors at Yale? But anyway, that's besides the point. What I was really thinking about talking about was something entirely different, but I haven't gotten to it yet. I don't want to talk about the pirate. We did it already. What am I going to say? He was a great hero. He's better than Dwight D. Eisenhower because he ordered the hit. He did it. He gets credit. Was it a great military challenge and success? No. No, it wasn't. A great military challenge was the Hitler of our time saying with a smirk, I developed enough centrifuges finally to make an atomic bomb, and Israel saying, I'll break another pizza matzah over your head if you do one more thing, and doing nothing. And America saying nothing. And then North Korea, I'm going to build it, I'm going to launch it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to launch it. He launches it, nothing happens, even though we have a warship. That's all. Oh, the eye I was telling you about. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I got to tell you about this because many of you are loyal fans of Michael Savage. And I won't be here forever. That's a given. You won't be here forever. I won't be here forever. I guarantee you within 100 years, everyone listening to the show will be dead. That's a definitive statement. I learned it in high school. It was true. And it's true today. Within 100 years, everyone listening to the show will be dead. So given that we're all mortal, listen to what I'm about to tell you. You might learn something. I don't even know what month it is. In radio, 15 years in radio, it went by in the blink of an eye. It's worse than a bad marriage. I mean, you wake up and... So here it is. I don't even know the month. I had an eye thing. I went in an emergency room. I woke up and the right eye had black things floating around in it. I thought I was getting called a doctor friend, get thee to a hospital. CAT scan wasted my time and money, x-rayed every cell in my brain. It turned out it wasn't a brain. It wasn't a stroke. It was a vitreous detachment. The vitreous humor decided to play a joke on me that wasn't very humorous and start floating around. Then it settles down. Now, all of a sudden, the left eye I woke up the other day. Like Mr. Blind. I mean, I'm walking black, not floaters. I can't see out of my left eye now. And the right eye settles down, and the left eye starts floating around. I was out of my boat yesterday. It could be the light. Who knows? It isn't that at all. I know what it is. I was in a private plane on a cross-country trip that had to go up and down a few times, and I think the pressurization freed up the vitreous humor, detached it, and the dreck from the eye is floating around, in other words. And I got to look at it. That's the trouble is, it's my eye, not yours. So what am I going to do about it? You know, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's your problem, not mine. I'm not plucking so fast. So I went out on my boat yesterday. It was so gorgeous going out. I hadn't been on my boat in a month. I went out under the Golden Gate Bridge in a beautiful, maybe 5-10 knot wind, brisk, sunny. And when we got out to Point Bonita and I turned my boat back, my boat turns like a railroad, like a Pullman car. I got to tell you something. This boat, you know what it is? I've been thinking about buying a new boat. I just want to tell you about something very important. It's going to lead to the economy. It's not about me and my boat so much. Everyone's saying, oh, your boat is 6 years old. Get a new boat. You got to get a new boat. You know, how many more years do you got to live? Treat yourself, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like one of these guys that doesn't like new things necessarily. I hold on to old cars and old things, even old clothes. I have clothing from graduate school that I hide in the closet that when people are out of town, I'll wear because they feel it's like old leather jackets. Who says a new leather jacket's better? I don't like the smell of formaldehyde anyway. It takes 10 years to leave the jacket. I have the boat. This boat was designed so well. It is such a classic that I'm never going to sell it. I understand that Paul Newman, who died recently, had an old Jaguar that he kept. And I think it was an XK140. Why do you want to sell a classic? So what I'm saying is, I don't need anything new. It's the same with the other thing. You get into the economy. I'm going to talk about it for a minute. Give me, I hear people saying, oh, the economy's so bad that they're having to tighten their belt. And what does that mean? Oh, one family that had a lot of money, now they don't have a lot of money, lost their money to Madoff. They went to Disney World and they told the children, don't order drinks at the pool. You hear this? That was their idea of deprivation. You hear? No drinks at the pool, deprivation. Unbelievable to me. I grew up with fly paper in a one-room apartment with six relatives. We had fly paper in the summer. You don't even know what fly paper is? You only see that in like movies about Chiapas, Mexico. I actually had fly paper in my house when I was young. We had fly paper. What's the big deal? It was less toxic than the chemicals they spray now, giving babies leukemia. Fly paper did the trick. No baby licked fly paper because it was so intelligently designed. It hung from the ceiling, and the fly got attracted to it, flew on it, and got stuck and died a horrible death. That's all. But who in those days cared about a fly? Today, everyone's so sensitive. Oh, Peter, look at the poor fly suffering. They shouldn't. It's an inhumane death. Everything's inhumane to them. Inhumane. Everything humane. The way a fly dies is their business. Everything's inhumane except what they're doing to the country. That's not inhumane. I'll be back.
Savage.
Pero mira cómo dice la cinturita. Caballero, mira cómo vengo y traigo sabrosa la cinturita. Yo fui hasta Francia por la cinturita. Enamora mi chamaca.
It is Benny Moray, a little Cuban music because of the liberation of the communist state under Obama. Hasta la victoria siempre, the old Castro used to say. And of course, a new victory for the Castro brothers under the new communist regime of America. Well, excuse me, the Democrat regime in America. Who knows what the real reasoning is? There's something under the surface here. Something else. How come they can't do chord variations like that on pianos anymore? Why? What happened? Is it the drugs? Well, whatever. It's my problem, not yours. I wouldn't go to it anyway if it played, because I don't have the time. I got a friend goes to a dance. He's over 60, still going dancing, night after night, every like an obsession. I don't know whether to admire him or to commit him. He never gave it up. He's only looking for, you know, divorced a number of years, because they're third world women are easy. What do you think he's doing? It's always about sex. You look at anyone's motivation, it's either sex or money or drugs, which again comes back to sex and money. It's all that motivates most Americans, like robots. Not me, I'm different. What motivates me is radio. Ideas and radio. Yeah, it's true. Leave me alone already with the Obama. Okay, Beverly in San Francisco. KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's the topic, please?
Yes, the Somali, the pirates. It's like talking to Oz for me. I'm sorry, so I'm a little nervous. I have two things I'd like to say. Number one, I think because of people like yourself, and you're incredible, you have the courage to speak. I think this actually gave pressure on Obama to...
I'm a courageous genius. I laughed at Hillary last Friday when she giggled over the Somali thing. Remember that? Did you hear that?
And you know what?
Hold on. I'll tell you what. Guys, get the Hillary Clinton Friday making a mockery of America by being a moron, laughing. And I went crazy on this show. No doubt the White House had to act. There's no question they were forced into it. Because if he blinked on this one, which was nothing, by the way, he didn't do it. He didn't pull the trigger. You know, thank the Navy SEALs and their training. That's who should be thanked for this. And the captain who gave the order. But the fact of the matter is, at least something was done. Play the clip of Hillary laughing last Friday.
The world must come together to end the scourge of piracy. You know, I think Morocco was the very first country that recognized us, going back a long time. And we worked together to end piracy off of the coast of Morocco all those years ago. And
all right, that took the cake. She sounded like a yenta at a bake sale. I mean, she should resign as Secretary of State for that incredible, incredible lapse in authority on Friday, Beverly. And that's why, no doubt, Obama gave the order to the captain, fire, you know, at will, basically.
Because you brought it to the attention of the people.
Well, it wasn't just me. Somebody else must have done it. I mean, I think the hemorrhoid with ears must have done it the very next day.
Fire. You're holding his feet to the fire.
I got a headache. Play Cuban music again. I don't really care. Everyone's bothering me now with this tea party. They're mad at me over everything. Now I got enemies on both sides of the aisle. I never felt better. For a long while, I thought it was only the left-wing goon squads. I found out the right-wing's worse. You don't do what they want. Off with your head. You've been a loyal servant for 15 years, but you disagree with us. Off with your head. We're never listening to you again. Stupid. Children. Tea party. A lot it's going to achieve. Oh, how... Oh, wow. You're really going to make an effect. They're making money off it. What, you selling T-shirts? Put your body on the line, Harvey. No, this I don't like already. I heard it too many times already. What else did I want? I told you about the eye. I told you about my boat. What other personal things are missing? That's your business. That's my business and your business. Florida, Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, big fan.
I don't blame
you. Big time following the show. Listen, I'm down here in Hollywood in the belly of the beast as far as the Cuban community. And many of my friends are Cubans, Jubans, all kinds of combinations. And they're outraged by the lifting of the embargo because they know this is lining the pockets of the Castro brothers. The people in the know that they're running low on cash, the Castros. Raul doesn't have the pull. They're going to be taking cash, and they're going to try to do favors for Obama.
So you say that Obama opened up Cuba to the relatives in order to get cash flow in to prop up the regime?
Exactly. There's a problem of cash flow for the Castro brothers.
So the reason that Obama wants to prop up the Castro regime in Cuba is to make certain that the growing communist bloc that is encircling America gets stronger, not weaker.
Exactly. And
oh, God. I'm getting sick. You're right. It makes such sense that I got to play some Cuban music, please. I can't take it anymore. My worst fears is right. Play Johnny Pacheco if you can find it, with the wooden flute. Jose Fajardo is even better. If you know flute, you know Jose Fajardo. It has to be the sweetest music ever. Do the Somalis have a cuisine or music? Their national economy is built upon kidnapping, hijacking, and murder. How could a nation exist for so many years and do nothing? Or they don't even grow a coffee bean there.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The efforts of the U.S. military and many other departments and agencies that work tirelessly to resolve this situation. I share our nation's admiration for Captain Phillips' courage and leadership and selfless concern.
Let's go play, meant to encourage kids to be active. The Obamas hosting 30,000 people, about 10,000 more than usually get to attend. 2,500 tickets went to military families. 4,000 local students were invited. And an unknown number of tickets set aside this year for families headed by same-sex parents. All kids under 10 take home a special White House wooden egg as a souvenir.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? An inclusive Easter service for homosexuals with children. That's wonderful. Equating them with military families. Wow. Wowee. Yeah, all right. Well, there it is. So you know the whole story. How SEALs carried out the mission, top story on MichaelSavage.com. Pirates vow revenge after U.S. Navy rescue. Yeah, sure. Abdullah Lami, a pirate holding a Greek ship. A real threat. Real threat. Oh, so what does Somalia produce? Does anyone know, is there a cuisine in Somalia or a... Is there anything that they've ever given the world, Somalia, ever, historically? Let's go back before there was even an America. There was still kidnapping and pirating. That's all. A nation of no goodniks. But get, bring more of them into Maine, for example. They haven't used toilet paper. They never flushed the toilet or used a toothbrush. They brought them into Maine. They wondered why there was a problem. They bring them into Minneapolis. We told you not to do it. And now they're recruiting them for Al-Qaeda. We told you not to do it, you liberal morons. You're killing us at every turn. And you never admit it. Never can you admit when you're wrong. Because you're psychologically damaged people, all of you. Play some Cuban music because we'll talk about the real secret reason that Obama has freed up a little trade and money transfers to Cuba. Go try to do comparative anatomy at Queens College with this music in your head on a Friday night. Go try a Monday morning with the parts of a fetal pig. It wasn't easy. That's why I wound up in talk radio 5,000 years later. Unbelievable. You can do it all. The truth is you can. When I was young, I used to write in my journal, you can't be a conga playing, Cuban music loving, you know, whatever it was I thought I wanted to be. I thought there was a dichotomy. Little did I know there was no dichotomy. That was me. The me was all of it. There was no single it to you. There's a lot of its to you. Get it, kids? There's no single you. You're capable of almost anything. You don't know who you are till you're pushed. That's all. A little wisdom on top of it all. Can I just do a wisdom show? I'm so sick of the news. I'm sick of I am sick of looking at Ahmadinejad, knowing he's the Hitler of our time, and seeing he's not whacked by the Israelis. It actually makes me ill. I'm sick of Kim Jong-il's pot belly, his whoremongering and his whiskey drinking and his threatening us. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the Castro brothers outlasting five presidents when they're evil personified. I'm sick of the fact that communism has emerged in America under the guise of liberalism. I'm sick of Mel Gibson being called anti-Semitic because he got drunk and blurted out a number of statements at some point in his life. Anyone who doesn't like matzah is anti-Semitic in the media. I'm sick of lesbians and gays being equated with your grandmother and my grandmother. I am sick of a transgendered mayor in Oregon coming to reality TV. I'm sick of Warren Buffett, no matter what he does. I don't like the way he looks. I can't stand the man. I don't like men who are that rich and pretend they're not. I'm sick of the fat slob who jumped into the polar bear tank in Germany and got mauled. I'm sick of that, too. I'm sick of Madoff. I'm sick of Madoff, to be honest with you, and his relatives. They should all be taken down, right down to the grandchildren. Every last one of them should be stripped of Ritalin and put into a prison cell. His grandchildren, in my opinion, should be cleaning toilets in Brazil. Play the music. It was good in the behind me. I was reading from the website. You had an end in the middle. I'm sick of punks at NYU pretending they're terrorists with masks on their faces, taking over buildings. Empty buildings, whimpering. What else am I sick of? I'm sick of a lot of things. Not too many victories out there, by the way, today. Very few. Very, very few victories. I can go down the list. I'm happy that Phil Spector was convicted of second-degree murder. Should have been him. That degenerate scum. Imagine you could hire lawyers in Los Angeles. They find a girl in his house with a gun in her hand, in his hand, and his chauffeur says he shot her, and they find him innocent originally. I'm proud of the Navy SEALs who whacked the Somalis. What an operation this was, my God. They parachuted from an aircraft into the scene near dark. You want to talk about guts? The Navy SEALs drop out of an airplane probably at 10,000 feet. High altitude, low opening air parachutes. Land in the ocean, and they whack these pieces of human trash. So-called pirates. I'd give them pirates. I'd wipe the country off the map if necessary, putting up with this garbage. Every third world nation, they see weakness, so they attack. They've been doing this for years, and nothing happened. Even the Fakakta Indian Navy acted last year. I don't know what happened after that. The Indian Navy flew in. Maybe they ran out of curry and they stopped. They were on the way over. Remember, we were all proud that we did nothing. But the Indian Navy moved in 6 months ago. We were cheering for the Indian Navy. And even they got pulled back. They ran out of curry powder or something on the ships. Vaya, vaya, vaya! A man like me should live for 1,000 years, but no one does. What can I do about it? What do you want me to do? Transcend the laws of nature? You see yourself breaking down. One eye, the other eye, a foot, a hand. One by one, God takes you down. You think you're going to live forever? One part of your body after another starts to break. I'll roar like a lion to the last day, I guarantee you. Whatever it is, 20 more years or 2 more days, I don't care. I'm going to go out roaring like a lion. No one's turning me into a whimpering sap. I know what's right, I know what's wrong. I know what's north, I know what's south. I know what's good, I know what's evil. I know what's normal, I know what's degenerate. I know what a free society is, and I know what a society of tyrants is. And I know what an imprisoned society feels like. Sure, Obama has triumphed over the pirates. Wonderful. Excellent. He gets credit for that. But let's not turn it into the invasion of Normandy, if you don't mind. The same day, after the congressional black communists go to Cuba, suddenly he opens up Cuba. You think it wasn't orchestrated? There's some deal under the surface here. Track the money to count to the congressional black caucuseers. Why is he propping up the Cuban regime when it's about to fall? These people were about to have freedom on that island. The minute those old bums died off, that country could have had liberation, true liberation. But instead, our neo-communist president liberates Cuba for the communists by having money flow going back into the hands of those two bums. In the opinions of many, Fajardo. Fajardo. If you don't know how to dance on two, don't listen to this show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Cuba may be a land of political paradox, but there's no two ways about the fact that the traditional music of Cuba is some of the greatest music in the history of music. And I have it for you today in the Savage Nation. Campe Segundo. You hear this? I mean, look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not a music critic. Just as I can't paint, I know great painting. Just as I can't play music, I know great music. So there it is, like all of us. We're the audience. One thing I can do right is talk. Anyway, you know, I'm thinking of taking up singing. People have said all my life, you should be a singer. You have any secret dreams of what you really wanted to do? I mean, as a hobby, I'm not going to leave radio so fast. But I have a natural voice for singing. I could sing with one of these groups. Is there a Latin group listening to the show who would like me to be the lead singer for a night? I guarantee I'll pack the auditorium. You find out how many Latino friends I have in the world as opposed to the fictional enemies created by the communist white bums with law degrees in San Francisco who have certain home addresses that I'll put on the air if they don't get off my back. Electronic Frontier Foundation. Would you like me to put out your home address? Keep it up, you lousy piece of... You think because you have your law degree that you're a great person? You're garbage. It's people like you kill the cops in Oakland. You degenerate left-wing bums. I shouldn't get mad. It really is unbecoming. An officer and a gentleman. What do you want to talk about here? I don't want to talk about Obama and Somalia. I'm so sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Why did Obama open up Cuba? Because they need cash flow on the island. Why do they need cash flow? Because because there's no cash flow. They lost Russia a long time ago. So why does Obama want to prop up two old Euro-trash Cuban leaders who have no blacks in their administration? Because it's good for the hegemony of the coming communist Americas. Anything else you want to know? It's horrible. It's worse than you think. And this whole thing with Somalia is a feint to show you he's a big patriot all of a sudden. He knew he would have lost face completely after his tour to Europe, his flop tour. Where he got nothing out of the tour. A complete laughing stock. Did nothing with Iran, did nothing with Korea. So he whacked three Somalis. You know what? My hat's off to the U.S. Navy SEALs. Love those guys. Who could not love these guys? Let's not turn Obama ready into General Eisenhower. You know, I had Cuban food. I was in Florida recently. My, I love that fish. It's not flying fish. I had flying fish in when I had a friend in the Barbados many years ago. Something weird about eating a flying fish. You know what I mean? It's like, that already is too much for me. It's flying. It's free. You eat it. You feel better. Fish is another story. But a fish doesn't want to die either. But that's the way it is. Read the Bible. You got to eat something. When you live on air, you end up living in Marin County, smoking dope and living on air, eating Hershey bars, thinking that you're better than everybody. Maybe this is like a disco show today. Once in a while, I'm allowed to do a little music and have fun. You want to hear the next cut? Listen to this one. Listen to this one coming up. Too slow. I can't go slow. It's like female vocalists. I don't. What number is this?
Como me gusta.
Como me gusta. Here's the master, Benny More. Benny More. Can you imagine dancing to this, what it feels like? On a dance floor, packed dance floor. You smell people around you. I mean, I don't mean negative smell. That's the difference between the sterile world you live in and actually going to a dance, a Latin dance where people bang into each other without shooting each other in those days. Benny More was such a great musician that when these Castro criminals came to office by killing everybody to steal the island away from the people, he tried to swim off the island and die. That's how much he loved his freedom. That was a freedom-loving musician. That's what you have in Cuba today. A prison camp. Chicago, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You talk about Cuba, and I wanted to share my experiences of being hijacked in 1971 to Havana. We were hijacked on a 747 out of Kennedy going to San Juan, and it was one of the first, in fact, the plane came out in 1971, and it was too large to land safely. And we were hijacked about halfway down and landed, and we stayed there 3 days because Kosygin was coming in from Russia, and Fidel wanted to show off the plane. So
isn't that something? No, these were two gangsters. They were gangsters. You know, it's interesting. If you read the story of Meyer Lansky, the criminal, who spent his whole life stealing money and killing people, and he wound up building a hotel, I think it was the Nacional in Havana, right? And then when the Castros came to power, they stole the hotel from him. And when he left the island with nothing, Meyer Lansky, I read his biography, said, all my life I stole from people to build a hotel. And then two bigger criminals than me came along and stole it from me.
And the other hotel, they put us up in a hotel. They put us up in...
All right, it goes over the words, like I said, nothing. That was supposed to have like a punchline. Yeah, Mike, you're right. Nothing right. Continues the dialogue. Play the music again, Mike. All right, I think I will, Mike. I think I will play the music instead. What's the point of talking? No one listens to you anyway. Even if you're a famous talk show, no one hears a word you say. That's the beauty of it. The beauty is that no one hears a word anyone says in this world today. There's actually a liberation in that. A waiter doesn't hear you. A doctor doesn't hear you. A nurse doesn't hear you. Whatever you say, you're like a non-human. No, this I don't like. I want to hear number 8. Wherever you go, does anyone listen to you? Tell me. Does anyone listen to you anywhere? Like, go to Needix and ask for half pineapple and half orange. You know what you get? A Coca-Cola with Sprite in it. I would like the pasta leave out the hard-shell clams, only the shrimp and the calamari, and they give you the hard-shell clams anyway. They tell you it's good for your sex drive. I don't like this one either. I'm sorry. Let's see clip 9. Now we're sliding down. It's not as good. I'm going to try one more. No, this is too... It's nice, but not like what I want right now. Blowing the audience off. I know what you want to hear. You want to hear Obama's no good. Only Republicans can save you. The golfer told you that this morning. You want to talk about something he said. Nothing else. So what I say is nothing. I'm playing great music, talking nothing, like nothing's happening. The beauty is I'm liberated. I don't care what you think. You want to know the ultimate liberation in talk radio is not caring what you think of what I say. So in that sense, I'm a free man. Thank God. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Un compositor que se equivocó. Se ha corrido en Cuba entera que se equivocó.
It's the Savage Cuban Disco Show today. I mean, why not? I don't have any Somali music to play. And since Cuba's in the news, Omar Portundo, Eshale Sasita, whatever. And here we are. Here we are. So the Cuban people were about to be liberated from these two Euro narco trash dictators because they were old, they were dying off, they're running out of money, and they're rescued by the United States government. I mean, you can't have freedom 90 miles from the shore. That might be a victory for conservative principles. And after the congressional black communists went to Cuba, came back from there. Barbara Lee now, a stateswoman. You hear this? From George Washington to Barbara Lee, in one breath you wake up, the country's over. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. You want to talk about Obama and the pirates? That's Radio, you know, 101. You can do that. There's nothing else in the news. That's the big news. We're going to talk about Phil Spector. No one even knows who he is, except the media. I don't understand the media anymore. They talk about Phil Spector like he's a household name. The guy did something in 1965. Had lead story. Phil Spector found guilty, no bail. Let him get rid of the wig and look like Uncle, you know, Moish from the Bronx, which is what he is. He might survive in prison. With the wig, someone's liable to confuse him with a chick and he's finished. I don't think they'll ever confuse him with anything. He could run. The only thing this guy could do after being rehabilitated, Phil Spector, is run for a mayorship in Oregon. Or a Menclaw, Washington, they might have him as a mayor. He's got the perfect look for it. Ambiguous with a wig. Him and Donald Trump. They could do a perfect team in Las Vegas after all the buildings go under. That's all. What now? Don't you love this? Somali pirates were untrained teens. Maybe they could try the captain of the ship of the Navy SEALs for murder. They could court-martial them. They haven't gotten through with Colonel Chisani yet. Bring in more Somalis. Bring them into Minnesota and bring them into Maine. Bring them in. They haven't used a toothbrush or toilet paper. Bring them in. Put them on welfare and wonder why they become terrorists. What do they do in Somalia? They don't even have beeswax. There's nothing there. At least in Ethiopia, coffee came from there. Cafe Arabica, I mean, you understand it came from the Ethiopian mountains. What do they got in Somalia? Kidnapping and piracy. That's their national... They used to be fishermen. A million years they fished. 10,000 years fishing, they bothered nobody. Low heart attack rate. High omega-3. They never had a piece of animal protein other than a fish. They never ate a corned beef sandwich. They lived long. All they did was have wives in every village. Children suffering with flies in their eyes. But they went on for thousands of years. Then along came the weak white man. Floating, hey, how are you? What are you going to do with them? Schmuck the puffy white people on boats. All right, I said all I want to. Turn the music off already, too. I'm getting a migraine. Give me some rock and roll now. Give me some rock and roll. Like, let me hear some rock and roll. Then we'll have heavy metal. We'll get the people back in the mood for actual radio. All right, this they understand. I get too esoteric. I understand that.
For a man, saw Bob Moran, so I thought I'd take a chance on Bob Moran, Bob Moran. Take my hand on Bob Moran, Bob Moran.
The whole world is different today. Everyone's like hiding their money. Actually, they don't have it. A guy with Ferraris like putting them in the garage. They don't even drive them. They make them believe they don't have money. What are we going to hide it for? You didn't steal it from anybody. Now it's like everyone's going to do downscaling. I love that the style's coming back, like hippie look. Like the girls are wearing like headscarves, bell bottoms. You know, I guess chlamydia will come back with it. And every other disease of the 60s. A wonderful time. What was so good about that look? The John Lennon look with the little hippie, with the LSD glasses. Big deal. Most of those people wound up nothing. Made nothing of themselves. The creeps. all acted like they were cooler than everybody. Remember the best-looking guys, like, in that time? Either they are dead or they amounted to nothing. Like working in the garment in the jewelry center. In the back, like, sweeping up jewelry stores. Turn it on. It's too much, you ready? You got to cut it off at a certain point. I don't want to talk anymore about Cuba. I want to talk about, unless there's some great Cuba call, if you want to talk about this pirates, okay, that's good. Or you want to talk about religion? Easter came and went, and you didn't hear a word from me. Why? Why? Christianity's not a Passover, you're in the middle of Passover, nothing to say about that? Nothing. I mean, you know, tens of millions of Americans are devout Christians. Let us say, I'm guessing, of the small population of Jews, a couple of hundred thousand are Orthodox Jews. Not one word about two of the most powerful holidays in the history of the calendar of the Jews and Christians. Not one word. Instead, Phil Spector's wig is the headline. I mean, I had an article on my website. I made them put it up because, you know, you figure you have to. But it worked about Easter and the power of prayer and faith. You know, and the thing about that, and I want to level with you on that, is it's very hard to have faith in an age of cynicism and an age of graphic realism. It's very hard to have faith. That's the truth. And no one's put it in exactly those words, and I'm good at that, the way I craft words. It's very hard to have faith in an age of cynicism and graphic realism. And I know men who say they go into church when, you know, when things go bad in their life, and they try to pray for God's intervention to help, and they don't feel anything. And that's true. How many times are you listening, you guys listening to the show, have been in church, and you hear the mumbo-jumbo, and you go along with it, and you want to believe, and you go for the kids, or you go for your mother, or you went for your whoever, someone died, you had to do it, but did you really feel anything? Or you go to a graveyard, and someone's dead, and they give the mumbo-jumbo, and, you know, you want to believe the resurrection, and do you actually believe it? Many of you do, but where do you draw your faith from is the question to the people out there who are cynics. Upon what do you draw your faith? What do you draw your faith from? I mean, you're not like Jimmy Carter where you said you saw Jesus in your living room because they drank, you know, whatever that the acid was there. I don't know what. They actually said they saw it. Imagine he was president once. A guy who said that he had conversations with Jesus in his living room. I mean, do you remember that? What did they do with the snakes down there with Billy Beer and all of that? Remember that family, what we lived through? Billy Beer and strychnine. They tame snakes and drink strychnine. They fall on the floor. The next thing you know, they're in the White House. They put a suit on them. Unbelievable to me. We're in Carter 2 right now. It's a whole in Carter 2, only worse. This is the next incarnation. Where suddenly Barbara Lee, insignificant, nobody, radical anti-white congresswoman, is suddenly a stateswoman. She goes to Cuba. You hear this? Or Charles Schumer. Charles Schumer is now saying that, wait, you got to hear Charles Schumer, what I have for you. I don't know if I could play this for you. You got to listen to clip 20. Listen to this one.
There are three probably Republican moderates in the Senate, moderate, Spector and Collins and Snow from Maine. There are about 30 hard right guys. They just believe in that hard right philosophy. They're not changing. But there are 10 or 12 what you'd call mainstream conservatives, people like Dick Lugar, who support his,
shut your pie hole for a minute. You say there are three moderate Republicans, meaning sellout turncoat vermin, like Spector, okay. Then you say there are 30 hard right guys. How many hard left gals and guys are there in the Democrat Party, Schumer? Why don't you level with us? Since you're part of the hard left faction in the Senate, how many of you are there, Schumer? Of the 50 Democrats, or the 53, 4 Democrats, how many of you are hard left? And how many of you are moderate Democrats, huh? And how many of you are mainstream? You never hear that conversation going on Fox News, do you? Instead, he goes on the lesbian show on MSLBGT. More snideness from lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered. MSLGBT, what a shame. But of course, as you well know, they just got a bailout from the U.S. government. Your taxpayer money went to Mr. Smelt of NBC. Mr. Smelt got a big, big bailout, so now Mr. Smelt pays back the Obama administration by putting MSLBGT on the air day and night and having the far-left, hard-left guys like Schumer on there. So you don't think I can't do politics in the Middle East? Believe me, I can do it. When I hear Schumer's voice, I get nauseous. As it is, it's hard to live in this country today. But you listen to a double talker like him, you get into a sweat, truthfully. Now, there's another soundbite I should have played. which I'm going to do right now. And that is the president of Mexico, Calderon. And I'm starting to think this guy's on a level. He says that the U.S. authorities are complicit in Mexican drug trafficking, but he said this in the BBC in clip 21. Let's hear it.
It is impossible to pass tons of drugs or cocaine to U.S. without some grade of complicity of some American authorities. There is traffic in Mexico because there is corruption in Mexico, and that is true. But with the same argument, if there is traffic in the United States, it is because there is some corruption in the United States.
I don't know how Calderon was able to say this. I mean, after all, he broke free of the puppet masters, but that's pretty amazing, you know. New York, Norm, line six, go ahead from WOR.
Michael, I'm not trying to make an excuse for what the Somalis did, believe me, but I want to tell you how they began as, quote, pirates. They are. Today, they've turned into pirates, so bad guys took them over. But back in the early 90s, when the country disintegrated and there was no law, nobody could police or patrol the coast, countries like Russia and other countries from the area were dumping pollution all around Somali water. They couldn't.
You left wingers really amaze me. How you'll come up and even justify piracy under the guise of some eco insult. What's wrong with you?
Nothing wrong.
You know, if you had a modicum of historical knowledge, you would know that these people have had piracy long before there was pollution. Do you understand that?
I understand, but I'm just telling you how these...
Well, you're just telling me some crap that you read on a blog somewhere, put out by some left-wing lunatics, which now passes for logic. But if you studied history, you'd find out that the Somalis have been engaged in piracy going back at least till in recorded history. Don't you understand this, Norm? How could you make a statement like that and actually expect me, an educated man, to accept it?
Listen.
What do you think I am, the hemorrhoid with ears who went to high school and fakes it every day? Take a walk. Don't ever call my show. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. Look at a British paper saying backlash fear if the U.S. Navy shoots pirates. What fear? From who? What backlash? Who are you afraid of? The Somalis in Minnesota or the Somalis in Maine? You know, the FBI has been watching them for quite a while. They know who they are. They know where they live. You know, they distribute free toothbrushes to them up in Minneapolis. They teach you how to use a toothbrush so they become a good American. Kevin in San Francisco, KNEW, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Man, it is your impeccable and awesome sense of humor and your brains that keeps you going. And, you know, it's the best part of my day to come here and hear a voice of reason. I'm a manual labor worker in this city, and I just don't know where I fit in anymore. But I'm talking about
I know. San Francisco was once a great, proud city. It's been taken over by a bunch of communists and degenerates.
It's just.
And by the way, I'm not mincing words. The city is run by communists and degenerates. I live by those words. You look at the board of supervisors, every one of them is either a communist or a degenerate or both. How is it possible that in a city like this, there's not one normal person representing normal traditional family values? How is it possible? That's all. What do you care? What do I care? Goldman Sachs plans $5 billion offering. How could they do that with my money? Didn't they get a bailout? Why are they not paying the money back? How come is Hank Paulson going to be on that? Goldman's profit lifts share sale. Does Soros have anything to do with that? I can't believe this. They made all this money. Why don't they give the money back? They're going to sell $5 billion in stock to pay back the money that the Wall Street firm received from the U.S. government last fall. Great. I love it. So they have another scam on the way. In other words, they're going to raise money on an IPO. Then they're going to pay us back with the money they raised from the IPO. And then they're going to ask for more money from some other scam artist that's in the U.S. government working for Goldman Sachs, now for Obama. Can you believe this? Snipers kill pirates, save captain. That's good news. Bailed out banks face probe over fee hikes. Oil industry braces for drop in gas demand. What drop? Gas went up in price because we're getting closer already to the driving time. The roads are like empty. I mean, I was driving around last night. I was like, no one's around. It's spring break. They took their little Ritalin brats somewhere already. They're all gone. Spring break, you got to go somewhere with the kids. The father wants to stay home and make a living. He's got to, must go on a vacation. They don't have a dime. They don't have a pot to you know what in, but they're on a vacation somewhere. Well, they're doing what I did when I was poor. You still go on a vacation. Best things in life are free when you don't have any money. That's what you say to yourself. You get through it that way. The best things in life are free, son, when you're broke or when you're a struggling personality. Best thing. You can learn. You can enjoy life without. I mean, the truth is, simple is good up to a certain point. We know you don't want to live in Somalia. Let's cut it off at a certain point. Appalachia, forget it. You could do without Appalachia or Somalia. No offense meant, but I mean, there's a bottom line here. Mississippi, most regions. Bottom line, you don't want to live there either in a Quonset hut. Or in New Orleans, they're still in the where were those trailers? What'd they do with all those nice trailers the government bought for them? Where'd they go? What scam artist bought them for $1 apiece and probably sold them to Somalia for the pirates to live in, for world peace? Remember all those trailers lined up after Katrina? I was shocked. No one wanted to live in them. They all went to Texas for the welfare. What do you want a trailer for? You go to Texas and get welfare and take over Houston. What would you want to live in a trailer for in a swamp, in the Okefenokee Swamp? But where did those trailers go? Probably a scam artist friend of Bush's bought them for a buck ahead and transferred them by U.S. military transport to Colombia to bring them back in laden with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Play some Cuban music, Mike. Okay, I will. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What are the headlines out there? What are the headlines out there? I'm actually in a high mood right now on a Monday. I feel very good, even though I can't see out of my left eye. It's like a glitch. It's like, what do they call it? A reset. I got to reset my left eye somehow. If the eye offend thee, pluck it out. No, thank you. It'll settle down in 6 months like the other one did. It's the gunk that flew up, the vitreous humor that flew up from the airplane, up and down and down and up. From once then down, and the pilot says, you're running out of gas. The pilot comes back and says to me, halfway across the country over Texas, he says, sir, we have a problem. I said, oh, my God. I said, well, what is this? Well, we're hitting 110 mile an hour, 110 knot headwinds the entire way. We're going to run out of gas. I said, okay, like when? Oh, like in 2 hours. So we have to land in Las Vegas to refuel. I said, well, that's going to slow everything down by 4 hours. I mean, okay, so how about going to Burbank first? And so it was down and up, and my ears went out, my eye went out. I have the certain thing, guys who will, like, have certain things. How stoic guys feel nothing. I'm not a stoic kind of personality. I was taught to bear pain, so I bear pain. But I tell you about it. Once in a while, I admit. Because, you know, it's what's the word that I'm thinking of? It's the way of all flesh. So you'd like to know that there's flesh behind the voice. And right now, my left eye isn't working. 6 months ago, the right eye was out. The left eye was good. Now, the left eye is out and the right eye is good. The computer's killing me. It's ruined my eyes. I know a guy 80 years old doesn't use glasses. He doesn't read. He doesn't write. He has assistants to do it for him. All he does is chase women. But all right, that's okay. That's how he still has eyes. He kept his vision for what he thought was important, which was the skirts. That's all. I don't blame him. But it's amazing. And you can look at things without a pair of glasses. Me is like, you know, give me the cane already and start tapping. Awful. Till the age of 40, I didn't have a pair of glasses. I thought I would never need them. You know about that in the 30s? You think you're immortal? The waist was like a 32. Iron man, not a gray hair. Then about 40, you know, my eye, I'm going to get a first pair of glasses. That's just for reading. Then the next thing you know, no matter how much you exercise, the size of your pants is ready in the closet. You have to give them away to, like, the care, to, like, the Goodwill in a box because you're never going to wear those again. Even if you get Kakechia, it's fitting. You're never going to put those on again. When you're at that age, you can never, no matter what you get, you're never going to wear them again. Even the corpse needs a larger size than the one you had when you were 30. When you were 38. Then the next thing, the gray hair, you try to deny that it's there. But it is, and it's like, I'm very lucky because I had cousins and friends, like they're gray in their 20s. I don't understand that. And a lot of guys went bald, like in their 20s. That's from too much shampooing, in my opinion. There's obsessive compulsive shampooing, which I was never into. What's the rubbing with hot water on your head with a strange chemical solution? You expect your hair to stay on your head? No wonder you went bald at 29, I told my friends. It's not like I have dirty hair. I mean, it's not like flypaper on top of my head. But I'm not into shampooing my head every day for the last 20 years. I don't understand that shampooing. It's like greeting cards. The same greeting card phobia. You play Cuban music on the way out the door because we have another big hour on the Savage Nation with big headlines. big guests. And mañana, mañana, mañana.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been discussing today on The Savage Nation, Obama and the Pirates, the lifting of travel restrictions for relatives of Cubans, and the military coup in Fiji. First, Obama and the Pirates. We should salute Obama for his resolve in ending the pirate takeover of the cargo vessel and killing the pirates. However, if we ask the question, has Obama faced his first military challenge and won, the answer is no. This was not a real military challenge. It was a piracy challenge. Obama's first military challenge was North Korea firing a rocket and Obama failing to stop Kim Jong mentally ill from doing so or acting in any meaningful way when he simply could have launched missiles and destroyed that rocket before it took off. The lifting of travel restrictions for relatives of Cubans raises questions. What effect will this have on the communist state of Cuba? What effect will this have on America? What effect will this have upon the future of relations between America and this communist state? Will they become more democratic, or will we become more communistic? Moreover, the flow of people who are relatives is likely to increase the flow of drugs to America because Cuba is a well-known transit point for cocaine trafficking out of South America. We also talk about Fiji and the future. Fiji has experienced a military coup and a complete social and political decline in the last couple of years. What's the difference between a military and a political coup? Could the political coup that's occurred in the United States prove just as devastating to us? The United States has triumphed over the pirates. As you've heard by now, the Muslim malcontents had a machine gun leveled at the captured captain's back on their boat, and U.S. Navy snipers killed them with a single bullet each. Thank God. Captain Richard Phillips was freed 5 days after a ship was hijacked off the Somali coast. The real credit here goes to the Navy SEALs who shot these bums. They performed their duties superbly and gave honor to their country's name. And we should also salute Obama for his resolve in ending the pirate takeover of the cargo vessel and the killing of the pirates. However, if we ask the question, has Obama faced his first military challenge and won, the answer is resoundingly no. This was not a real military challenge. It was a piracy challenge. Obama's first military challenge was from North Korea. Kim Jong mentally ill fired a rocket and Obama failed to stop him. And from doing so, he failed to act in any meaningful way. That cannot be forgotten in the euphoria of the moment. We are at risk from a nuclear strike by Kim Jong mentally ill and next Iran because of Obama's quaking. When President Reagan sent U.S. Air Force planes to bomb terrorist sites in Libya in 1986, he did real damage to the dictator Gaddafi's ability to launch terrorist attacks. Libya was no longer viewed as a serious terrorist threat after that point. While it reflects well on the U.S. military and the Navy SEALs, the killing of these pirates won't put a stop to the actions of others just like themselves. You see, their infrastructure remains intact. Their ability to strike remains undiminished. And the crews of these ships remain unarmed. Obama is talking about launching a land attack on the bases of these Muslim pirates. If he does that, he will be taking a real step towards making the world a safer place. But if he leaves it at this, he'll be showing that though he wants the glory, he doesn't have the gumption to go after a real victory. Obama's recent trip to Europe had a stop in Turkey, and Turkey has recently been acting less and less like our ally in NATO and more like a member of the old Warsaw Pact. Believe it or not, joining us today to talk about the importance of Turkey to the rest of Europe is Ariel Cohen from the Heritage Institute.
Thank you, Michael.
Barack Obama visited a number of countries in Europe. He attended the Group of 20 Largest Economies Summit, the NATO Summit, and the European Union Summit. But he ended his trip in Turkey. His message there highlighted the importance Washington attaches to this regional player. Turkey bridges Europe and Asia, is a veteran NATO ally in an influential Muslim country. In his speeches, Barack Obama emphasized that Turkey is a Muslim nation that respects democracy, the rule of law, and is founded on a set of modern principles. But Turkey wasn't always like that. In 1683, the Ottoman army was barely defeated at the heart of Europe, in Vienna of today. And since the current Islamist Justice and Development Party, the AKP, took power in 2002, the rosy description by Obama of Turkey today may be an overstretch. Mr. Obama also voiced support for Turkey's membership in the European Union. This did not endear him to many Europeans, especially the French President Nicolas Sarkozy, who rebuked this idea. Absent from Obama's speeches was any mention of recent trends that have raised legitimate questions over Turkish leadership's commitment to secular democracy. The AK party also is wavering in its trajectory towards the West, toward the United States, and NATO in particular. For example, they questioned the choice of Thor Rasmussen, the new Secretary General of NATO, because of Denmark's response to the cartoon scandal several years ago, and Rasmussen comes from Denmark. Turkish secular elites are worried about their country's direction. They argue that the AKP promotes a creeping Islamic agenda, one close to Muslim Brotherhood fundamentalism, not Europeanism. While the ruling Turkish party enjoyed popular support since it came to power, now it's sliding in the local elections. The global economic crisis is in part responsible, but voters are disappointed that AKP strayed from its promises of a more liberal Turkey in the European Union. Prominent Turkish supporters of democracy are concerned that the right of dissent, tolerance, and government accountability are being eroded. In foreign policy, there are important signs that Turkey is drifting away from the West. In 2006, Turkey became the first NATO member to host the leader of Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist organization, Khaled Mashal.
Unbelievable.
Turkey also enthusiastically hosted Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir, who is currently under an international warrant for crimes against humanity. Turkey's geography justifies its relations with Iran, but not with Hamas or Sudan. Only Islamist solidarity and anti-Western sentiment can explain these ties. Although Turkey has been trying to facilitate an Arab-Israeli rapprochement by sponsoring Syrian-Israeli proximity talks and several other initiatives, it is losing its impartiality and, therefore, credibility. This was evident when the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan spoke about Israel's operation in Gaza and attacked the dovish Israeli President Shimon Peres, the Nobel Prize winner, before he stormed out of a panel at the recent Davos World Economic Forum, only to get a hero's welcome back at home. The AKP and other Islamists also sponsored a flood of anti-Israel demonstrations, billboards, and anti-Semitic rhetoric, a novelty in Turkey, which since 1500s was home for those Jews who were expelled from Spain. Turkey could potentially play a role in U.S.-Iranian negotiations. However, the Prime Minister Erdogan's judgment has been called into question after he said last year that, quote, those who ask Iran not to produce nuclear weapons should themselves give up their nuclear weapons first, unquote. Of course, that was a hint of the United States. Developments in Turkey's Black Sea policies are also worrisome. During the August 2008 Russia-Georgia War, Turkey proposed the Caucasus Stability and Cooperation Platform, something that Russia and Turkey will run together with their three South Caucasian neighbors. But initially, they omitted the United States and the European Union. Turkey also temporarily blocked the transit of American warships delivering humanitarian aid to Georgia. This is also back in 2008. And it prioritized rapprochement with Russian ally Armenia over the ties with secular, pro-Western Azerbaijan, an oil-rich country at the western coast of the Caspian Sea. These developments underscore Turkey's cozying up to Russia as Moscow provides nearly two-thirds of Turkey's gas supplies.
How important is Turkey for Europe standing up to Russia?
Turkey is crucial to Europe's efforts to reduce its dependence on Russian energy, including the proposed Nabucco gas pipeline. Nabucco would bring Caspian Sea gas to Europe, bypassing Russia. However, Turkey is currently stalling a critical intergovernmental agreement on this Nabucco pipeline and throwing away a decade of progress in East-West energy corridor. According to Mr. Erdogan, Turkey is open to providing assistance for the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq through Turkey. This statement is borderline offensive in view of Turkey's refusal to allow U.S. troops to cross its territory into Iraq in 2003. This was not the behavior of a NATO ally. Yet, the planned withdrawal of our troops from Iraq raises the importance of the Incirlik U.S. Air Force Base, through which 70% of supplies to Iraq move. Beyond this, Turkey has long-standing ties to Afghanistan and Pakistan and continues to play a positive role in both countries. Mr. Obama attended a meeting between Turkish and Armenian foreign ministers, signaling U.S. support to the rapprochement between these two old foes, Turkey and Armenia. Mr. Obama avoided alienating a key ally, Turkey, by not using the G word, genocide, when talking about Turkish-Armenian relations because of what happened in 1915 when hundreds of thousands of Armenians were killed by the Ottoman troops during World War I. Yet a strong U.S. endorsement for enhanced Turkish-Azerbaijani cooperation is also necessary and is hopefully forthcoming. To conclude, despite Turkey's movement away from the West, the country continues to play a key role in NATO and in the region. Washington should devote more attention to U.S.-Turkish relations, and strong bilateral security relations are particularly important for cooperation on the Iraq withdrawal, Afghanistan, dealing with Iran, and addressing a resurgent Russia. The administration should stress that it is in Turkey's long-term interest to remain politically oriented toward the U.S. and the West.
Ariel Cohn, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. This is the Savage Nation. We'll start with the first and most important story in the United States of degeneracy here. Adult star Marilyn Chambers found dead. You may not know who she is. She's 52 years old, 56 when she died. And she broke through into the public's consciousness, polluting the American mind forever, in the 1972 film Behind the Green Door. And I guess this proves that Mama Savage was right when she said sex is dirty, in the sense that years ago, when I had my mother on the show, God rest her soul, she died about 5 years ago. She was, how old was Mom? 88? She made it that long? I don't know. God, what longevity. My father kicked the bucket young, God rest. The men always die younger because we work harder, you know, particularly in the older generation. That's how it was set up. Women didn't work in those days. Most women didn't work. The men worked. They worried. The women shopped, cooked, cleaned, and complained. And then they got the left the money, and they moved to Florida, and then they complained again to the surviving children that the Chinese and Italian wasn't as good as in New York. That's the way of all life. No, but my mother was right when she said sex is dirty. You know, that's so opposite today when you got kids 9 years old sending naked pictures of themselves with parents saying, go ahead, enjoy yourself. Don't do it. You know, go ahead, don't get in trouble. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. The mothers are like sluts today. Take a look at them. You ever go to a mall? You don't know which one is the teenager. What is the mother trying to compete with the daughter to be a bigger slut than the daughter? No wonder the daughters are texting themselves naked. All right, but sex is dirty. My mother was right. New York City, Elaine, welcome to the program from WOR. I appreciate your calling.
Michael, oh my God, I love you. I'm a black woman. I'm from Africa.
God bless you.
I absolutely love you, Michael. My family wants to kill me.
Elaine, do you know why you love me? Because I sound like a strong, principled, wise man of the type that exists in Africa in traditional communities. A man who sees clearly and speaks clearly is a rarity in this world, whether it be in Africa or in New York City. And that is why you are drawn to this show.
Oh, that's true, Michael. And you speak the truth. You know the racists, whether it's Obama or Bush, they're all the same, Michael. And
Thank you. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for being an educated mind.
Absolutely. And you know what? I believe.
Elaine, which country do you hail from in Africa?
I'm from Cameroon. Central Africa.
I know where Cameroon is. I know very well some of the most beautiful people on earth come from your country. How long have you been here?
Love your show.
How long have you been in this country, Elaine?
I've been here for 6 years already.
And do you love it?
I love it. You know what, Mike? I absolutely love it. I came to this country, Michael. I did not know any English. I learned English. I went to college.
How come you could learn English, but the Vietnamese man who shot all those people last week couldn't learn English? Why is that?
That's what I was saying. I learned the language in 2 months, Michael. I went to college.
How long? Wait, Elaine, how long did it take you to learn English?
2 months, Michael. When I came.
Wait, let's back up for a minute. Did you have any English training in Cameroon?
Just the basic, Michael. I knew.
So how did you learn it so fast? You must be a super intelligent lady.
Because when I came in, I started working right away. I was working at a sandwich shop and going to college at the same time.
And what did you graduate in? In what field, Elaine?
Marketing.
And are you currently working?
Yes, I'm actually working in the financial industry, yes.
I am so happy to hear this. This is an American success story. You are the hope for America, women like yourself, Elaine. I really mean this. And I would tell you, I'm going to send you a gift of my wonderful book, Psychological Nudity. Stay in the line. I got a word that the shipment has just arrived. All of you who are waiting for the back order on the third printing, it's going to be shipped today. And now we have a fresh new third printing of that book. And I'm very proud to tell you it'll be shipping all week. Psychological Nudity for free to that young lady. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I hate the words racist and racism. It is so tired. It is so boring. It is the standard argument of the people without argument. It is used strictly to try to disarm the enemy, and it is such a weak attempt. Let us use logic together, ladies and gentlemen. We are all one people in a sense and one nation. Just because we have a polarizer does not mean we have to be polarized. And just because we have a divider in the White House, surrounded by dividers who love crises, does not mean we have to fall for the oldest of tricks used by demagogues going back to the kings of Egypt. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Obama administration just announced that it's going to loosen restrictions on Cuba. BO is repealing limits on how many times Americans can visit family in Cuba and how much money Americans can send to Cuba. Furthermore, these changes are timed around Obama's first trip to Latin America. Is this about getting good American policy or getting an endorsement from Castro and Chavez? These measures stop short of ending the embargo of Cuba. And because of that, some members of Congress claim that these are inadequate half-steps. Others, including Democrat Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey, a Cuban-American, say that this is the wrong way to go. Menendez rejects loosening restrictions on Cuba as a gift to a regime that continues to murder and jail those who go against the killer Castro brothers. What I, Michael Savage, say is that there is an enormous danger here. While it's true that we might make Cuba a more democratic place by dropping these restrictions, couldn't it also be true that we could turn ourselves into a more communistic state at the same time? And beyond that, the flow of people who are relatives is likely to increase the flow of drugs to America because Cuba is a well-known transit point for cocaine coming out of South America. And while this might be good for Hugo Chavez, it won't be good for us. Our president may have good intentions in taking this action, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And any move in this direction must protect the best interests of the United States, not propping up Fidel and Raul Castro, the criminals who run Cuba like a prison. With the closing of Gitmo and the talks of bargaining with Iran and North Korea and the likes, President Obama seems to be stripping away our country's ability to defend itself while making we the people more dependent on his big government plans. Joining us today is Dr. Peter Breggin to talk about the importance of self-defense and self-reliance.
President Obama seems to want us to act like children who feel so overwhelmed by abuse that we won't dare assert our independence as individuals or as a nation. Let me explain. Michael, you are one of the few genuinely independent voices in the media today. And that, in effect, makes you one of the few genuinely independent voices in the whole world. I don't offer this gratuitously. Today we're focusing on what it takes to live the way you and I want to live, as truly independent persons. And we're also focusing on how Obamist policies are undermining the twin principles of our independence, self-defense and self-reliance. Instead of encouraging self-defense, Obama urges us to be conciliatory and even passive in the face of threats to our identity and our existence. When North Korea tried to intimidate the world by firing a rocket across the ocean, Obama unilaterally offered to begin destroying our own missiles. He said this would provide an opening for the violent abusers like North Korea, Iraq, and Russia to mute their enmity toward us. Now he's gone further, asking for reduced spending for our own missile defense system. If that happens, rogue nations will work even harder to develop their own rockets, knowing that a defenseless USA will have to bow to their abuse. By stripping us of our ability to defend ourselves, Obama pushes us toward living like helpless victims of abuse, who must propitiate instead of standing up strongly on our own behalf. Now, in regard to the second part of independence, which is self-reliance, Obama is telling us to rely on others, and especially on government authorities, hoping they will take care of us. He creates an attitude of fear and intimidation, telling the country that we must accept bailouts and handouts in order to survive, literally from day to day. So from education to home ownership and to health care, as well as international relations, President Obama seems to want to make us more dependent on others. By making us dependent, Obamist policies are once again driving us toward becoming as helpless as victims of abuse. And overall, he's undermining self-defense and self-reliance, the twin principles of independence and the starting point for a good and effective life as an individual or as a nation.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by living like a victim?
Well, let's look at domestic abuse. First, the abuser in the family discourages his wife from defending herself. He will bully her, but if she so much as protests, he escalates his brutality toward her. If she tries to call 911 or to leave him, he threatens dire consequences. Having terrified her, he then makes her feel guilty about defending herself or daring to become independent of him. He tells her that she's the one at fault, that she provoked his anger and violence, and that if she only behaved more submissively, everything would go better. The abuser also encourages his victim to distrust her true allies and resources in her family and community. In Obama's case, he drives a wedge between the individual citizens and their American family with its founding values of independence and responsibility. Rogue nations act like family abusers. But more dismaying, notice that Obama wants us to react to these abusers like overwhelmed victims of abuse. He wants us to back off from defending ourselves. He wants us to apologize, and he wants us to admit that we are to blame for the hostility that the other nations harbor toward us. After destroying the victim's ability to defend herself, next the abuser robs her of her self-reliance. She's not allowed to work or to leave the house without him. Money is doled out. She grows afraid that she cannot survive emotionally or economically without him. And once again, the victim of abuse is made to feel guilty and ashamed for wanting not only to defend herself, but now to assert her self-reliance. Notice that Obama encourages us to feel bad about wanting to be independent, wanting lower taxes, and wanting to make our own choices in the pursuit of our own self-interest.
You use the term Amerophobia. Where does this fit in with Obama's failing principles and policies?
Amerophobia means self-hate. In its mildest forms, Americans feel uncomfortable or ashamed about their country. In more extreme forms, it leads to what we see today, millions of people no longer believing in themselves or in their nation. Self-hate begins as a protective mechanism. People don't want to hate themselves. They're pushed into it. Abuse victims find that it's safer to blame themselves than to blame their abuser. As a result, when people grow up in an abusive family or nation, they tend to exonerate and even defend their abusive parents and their abusive political leaders. It's less risky. Now, a good psychiatrist or therapist tries to reverse that process. He tries to help adults to understand when they are failing in life because of the self-defeating principles that were pounded into them by abusive parents and caretakers in their childhood. Even though their abusive parents may have grown old and died, their victims still remain afraid to defend or to rely on themselves. They harbor self-hate and they remain afraid of becoming independent. Now remember, self-defense and self-reliance are the twin principles of independence. And self-hate undermines all that by making us feel like we don't deserve to protect ourselves and to promote our own self-reliance. That's also true about Obama's Amerophobia. It discourages us from defending ourselves and promoting our national values and priorities.
In the past, you talked about the importance of love and the value we place on other people. Where does that fit in?
Love, for me, is the center of a good life. But, and this is hugely important, only an independent person can find the strength to love. You have to feel able to defend yourself and able to take care of yourself before you can become joyful and generous and caring toward others and toward life and even toward God. Abused people do not stay with their abusers because they love them. They stay because they are afraid to leave and feel guilty and frightened about becoming independent. President Obama seems to believe that, you know, we're a more loving nation when we compromise our self-defense and self-reliance. But it isn't true. Submissiveness is driven not by love, but by fear and self-loathing. The lesson from all this, in politics or in your personal life, the principles are the same. Learn to defend yourself and learn to rely on yourself. And from that position of strength, you will be able to express love toward the people in your life and even toward other peoples around the world. And that brings us then to what I call the primary principles, the refrain of my weekly report. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities. Become a source of love. You can find me and listen to all of these reports and also read the transcripts at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. If we're going to truly be a free country, we have to be able to break the cycle of dependence we have with the government. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Pero mira cómo dice la cinturita. Caballero, mira cómo ven que traigo sabrosa la cinturita. Yo fui hasta Francia por la cinturita. Enamora mi chamaca.
It is Benny Moray, a little Cuban music because of the liberation of the communist state under Obama. Hasta la victoria siempre, the old Castro used to say. And of course, a new victory for the Castro brothers under the new communist regime of America.
Arriba,
well, excuse
arriba.
Me, the Democrat regime in America. Who knows what the real reasoning is? There's something under the surface here. Something else. How come they can't do chord variations like that on pianos anymore? Why? What happened? Is it the drugs? Well, whatever. It's my problem, not yours. I wouldn't go to it anyway if it played, because I don't have the time. I got a friend goes to a dance. He's over 60, still going dancing, night after night, every like an obsession. I don't know whether to admire him or commit him. He never gave it up. He's only looking for, you know, a divorce a number of years, because it. Third world women are easy. What do you think he's doing? It's always about sex. You look at anyone's motivation, it's either sex or money or drugs, which again comes back to sex and money. It's all that motivates most Americans, like robots. Not me, I'm different. What motivates me is radio, ideas and radio. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Pirates vow revenge after U.S. Navy rescue. Yeah, give me a break. It's like the punk who gets his nose bashed in and goes away crying, saying, I'll get you, you'll see, I'll get you, I'll get you, we'll retaliate, yeah. Tell your story, Walker Johnson. Now, for the bad news for Obama, Obama's brother, his half-brother, was stopped by an airport in England for a record of a sex attack on a teenager. Nothing to do with Obama, but we thought you should know. Easter bomb plot linked to ghost of Al-Qaeda mastermind in Britain. Very big story. From the London Telegraph, Vatican blocks Caroline Kennedy as Obama ambassador pick because of her support for abortion. From the AP, records reveal vets are faking POW stories to get bigger benefits. You don't know this. Many of them are saying that they were POWs when they're not, to get special government benefits. Very sad. Here's a shocker. McCain backed a call by Obama last week for a planet free of nuclear weapons. And you thought McCain was a good choice? Wow. I know it's just after Easter, but a new article says that faith and religion are good for your health. On the top right of MichaelSavage.com, you'll see how the SEALs actually carried out the mission. Don't miss it. From Germany, a left-wing minister in Germany wants U.S. nukes out of Germany. Moron, moron, moron. From the New York Post on MichaelSavage.com, Mel Gibson's wife is the $400 million woman. After 28 years, she's filing for divorce. She's going to get 50% of his dough, because there was no prenup when they got married. From the Wall Street Journal, bailed out banks face probe over fee hikes. Yeah, something will come of that, sure. And don't miss this one, Fox News. They tell you that a man killed his sister and decapitated a five-year-old on her birthday in front of a cop. They left out the word Haitian immigrant man. Ah, and on the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, jail for dummies. Madoff kin are seeking prison survival class. They went to a consultant who teaches white-collar criminals how to survive in federal prison and secure early release. The handwriting is on the wall. It's time for something lighter. Joining us now is James Herson with his report on what's going on in Hollywood.
Thanks, Michael. Hollywood is consumed with the subject of piracy. Arg. No, not the high seas kind, but the internet type. You know, the digital plundering of music, film, software, etc. Just as the Motion Picture Association of America was revving up its anti-piracy lobbying engines, a big-budget flick, X-Men Origins Wolverine, was leaked onto the web a month prior to its scheduled release. Studio execs in Hollywood were terror-stricken, because the three previous X-Men flicks had taken in more than $600 million worldwide, and the unlawful sneak peek might seriously jeopardize box office booty. Since 90% of Tinseltown's $14 million that they gave for national political campaigns in 2008 went to, guess what, Democrats. Hollywood's quite optimistic that new anti-piracy laws and regulations will soon be flowing out of D.C. Hollywood is also hopeful that the president himself, Barack, will create a White House czar on intellectual property. And it's for good reason. In the 2008 campaign, Tinseltowners coughed up about $3.4 million just for Obama. Over the years, the entertainment biz has given the most bucks to an L.A. Democrat, House member Howard Berman. It's about $1.3 million from 89 to 2008. And a week after the X-Men leak incident, Berman put together a congressional hearing where Hollywood execs wailed about the approximately $20 billion in annual losses from digital piracy of movies, music, and other entertainment. For example, in July of 2008, the animated blockbuster WALL-E was captured with a camcorder at a theater in Kiev. In less than 1 month, pirated copies were for sale in more than a dozen countries. This was revealed in the testimony of the Disney chairman, Richard Cook. And then the president and CEO of Universal Music, Zach Horowitz, gave testimony that only one out of every 20 music downloads is legit, and only one in three CDs are not pirated versions. Now, there's an irony, Michael, in the plunging music business. the very same companies that have promoted and sold gangsta rap and heavy metal records that are laden with sludge, slime, and amorality are now trying to convince the youthful looters that they had influenced in the past that now they want to say stealing is wrong.
Well, how does that work?
Michael, I couldn't care less about the hypocritical hybrid SUV liberals. My concern is with the 1.5 million working folks in the industry and those small business people who own theaters and video stores. So there's got to be some kind of fix, and a fix many have touted is a French plan, which would compel Internet service providers to take consecutive actions against those accused of piracy, and after 3 warnings, they could suspend the person's Internet access for up to a year. But today, the French Parliament recently voted it down. And the reason that they did it was through resistance from the Socialist Party. And it's significant that socialists would block anti-piracy laws, since guess what? The understanding of property rights are necessary to being able to comprehend the moral dimensions of illegal downloading. It's no coincidence that piracy is rampant in China and Russia, both being places where a communist legacy of denying property rights creates a fertile ground for accepting the idea that it's okay to steal someone else's intangible intellectual property. China's record has been so bad, the U.S. Trade Representative in 2007 filed 2 piracy complaints against them at the World Trade Organization. A decade earlier, we were seeking billions in sanctions against China, but we didn't continue because they promised, the Beijing government promised, that the country would adopt new measures to reduce illegal copying. The MPAA has learned that hiring lawyers to sue potential customers, like the music industry did, is not the way to go. It creates tons of negative PR. Instead, they're bringing star power to the fore by recruiting celebrity spokespeople. The MPAA has launched a campaign in China that features NBA star Yao Ming. He's suited up in his Houston Rockets uniform, and in a poster, he says, "I need your support. Copyright protection needs our support." So expect to see lots of A-listers in ads against unauthorized downloading. Michael, it's funny how even on the left coast, private property rights can be embraced when hundreds of millions of dollars are on the line. Thanks again, Michael, for all you do.
Hey, thanks for the report, James.
Savage.